If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. The Miller still tasted great. The Phillies didn't taste as good going down this weekend, Fritzy. You know, the All-Star break, we have the glory of Kyle Schwarber on the national stage in a moment that mattered, that everyone really cared about. And then, you know, yeah, the Angels come to town. The big bad Angels coming to town is Joe Adell, the player he's supposed to have been for like 5 years, that finally just crapping all up. Joe Adell and Taylor Ward definitely were like, hey, Phillies, we're here, guys. Don't forget about us. Come get us. Like, what a series for those guys. Look, I know a ton to get to. There's all kinds of trade rumors, and you know, look, we are 11 days away from the deadline. Well, you know, that'll be a big topic as we move forward too. I know that, you know, we had only talked about Gage Wood. So your thoughts on a clear strategy from the Phillies, your thoughts on Matthew Fisher,
yes,
who
thank you.
The one person you have not stopped talking to me about on text messages. You'll just send random, like comparing him to other athletes in other sports, and now he'd be better at throwing than they would, and this and that, and all kinds of. You're just you. So we got a lot to get into. But
I'm just saying Matthew Fisher could also win the Super Bowl last year.
You had to make me mad. Like, you don't. What are we doing here? All right. So if you ever watch a Phillies team come out of the All-Star break, looks sluggish. If it weren't for Kyle Schwarber freaking hitting a freaking Schwarb slam, like, they might lose all three. They come out weak. You know whose team doesn't? That guy you're ripping over there. You know, that team's always freaking ready to play, and they bring the freaking heat. Like, more of that with this Philly. They could take a lesson. Like, look, you know, there are good signs. Like, the Bryce stuff we'll get into, obviously, physically today, but he looks awesome. And not just that, the way he's talked about it, you know, he sounds awesome and all that. But look, I think, you know, you come out of, and look, we went into the break off a disappointing 2-of-3, come out of the break disappointing 2-of-3. Mets win today. They've been playing horribly, but now only a half game back. It's, you know, the Phillies really should be like 4 or 5 games up in the division the way the Mets have played. They just haven't been able to you know, get anything going. Where are you at with the team after the weekend? Obviously, I think that, you know, the bullpen stuff, the trades, there's so much going on. It's like, it really is for a week with no games between the times we talked that mattered, other than the Schwarber, you know, national superstar moment. Like, it feels like there's just so much to talk about, so much going on.
I know. I actually, my take bag took up my whole notes. So look forward to that one. You know,
so I'll get to it. Sure. All right. So, like, all right, take bag time now. Let's go. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll cover most of it, but just to my credit, I spared you the thoughts on the 10th through 19th round picks.
Really,
so
that. Yes, we'll get to it. We'll get to it on a night where, you
yes.
Sunday night before, you know, work and Zoe is Zoeing and all the good stuff. Yes.
It happens every time, right? Where that Friday after the All-Star break, you're like, I miss him. Can't wait to watch them. Like, just can't wait to sit down.
Experience even on a Thursday. You feel it on Thursday because it's like this extra day stuff is nonsense. Like, on Thursday, I'm like, they should be playing today. Like, what is this? Why is there nothing? Yeah.
Second it started, I was like, this is brutal. I mean, this is brutal. So
go back on break, guys, please. Seriously.
Exactly. So the concerning thing for me is that, well, there's a couple of concerning things. They're 20 and 21 now since June 1st, which we just went through last year. Now,
yep.
It doesn't feel the same. Like, I thought last year there was much more signs of fraudulence. You know, I think we try to convince ourselves. I also don't think this team is like,
as, we also thought that team was better last year. Exactly. They were better to start. So they gave us more belief and it was harder to kind of get off that this year. We've never believed in this team this year as much as we did the first 2 months of last year, you know?
So like there's that thing going on where they which again, swoons are fine, but they've lost what, 3 straight series. They went up to the Giants, lost. They lost to the Padres, which you can excuse those ones away. What was disheartening about this series is that those guys freaking mashed, dude. Like, mm-hmm. they can't pitch.
Just everyone who came up just were, like, ripping it all over the field. Like, I was trying, like, I can't, you know.
Was I watching the Los Angeles Angels, or was I watching the 90s Blake Street Bomber?
Like, why are we watching this Angels lineup, which, if you take Mike Trout out of it, costs one 10th what the Phillies cost or whatever, maybe less, who the hell knows. And I would swap lineups in a second. I'd be like, sure, yes. I'll take those guys.
Yes.
Those guys are awesome.
Dude.
Why?
I love Zach Neto. I love Joe Adele.
I don't want to say his name because I'll mess up with Noah Shonwell, whatever. Well,
he stinks. He's like,
they just got roll guys out. The Renigfo, I like him.
Renigfo. So this is going to really derail the podcast, and I'm sorry.
Oh, we're not already derailed. Yes, go. We're just listing random Angels who will never hear from again.
You know Nolan Shonwell, whatever, reminds me
of? Yeah, his name, he has the worst last, no offense to him and his family. Like, it is like such, it looks bad. It's impossible to know how to say. Like, it just sounds bad no matter what you choose. It's such a horror. I'm so sorry, buddy, but it's so bad.
So it reminds me of Nick Johnson. Remember Nick Johnson? Like the old Nationals and
oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Not a power guy at all.
Freaking deep ass cut right there. Thank you. Yeah.
I do play the Immaculate Grid every once in a while.
Yeah, that's a Nick Johnson. Wow. Yeah.
So, like, you know, those guys look like a steroid era type lineup. They do have the most home runs in baseball. So I guess, like,
no, they've been raking. Yeah. Look, Adele already passed his career high today. Yeah. He was at 20, yeah. Was his career high. Man, he's got 21.
They got like Logan Ohapi hitting 7th. He has 17 home runs. You know, like it was
really puts
jarring.
Into perspective how the like 10, 11, 10, 9 from like that Castellanos and Kevin, all these guys, 12, whatever it is. It's just like, God, you know, it feels like they don't hit a lot of homers. And I know they're not high on the list, but when you just look at these, like, just dude, like guys, dudes is the wrong term because they're not dudes, just guys. And they're like, oh, 15 or 17, 20. Whatever. So what is going on right now?
Well, and it actually makes me mad that Kepler's in the double digits because he doesn't deserve to have 10 home runs. He really doesn't.
I can't stand him. Like, I can't stand him, dude. I can't stand him.
Well, and he looks checked out too. I mean,
he totally does.
If there was ever a guy on DFA watch, you know, I feel like we have to do this once a year with a Dabrowski signing, is who is currently on DFA watch. I mean, Kepler's been on DFA watch for 2 weeks, and he's not, like, responding in a way that I think – like, I've never seen someone who looks like they want to get cut more
than he does. It's like, I wouldn't be shocked if a story came out that his agent's been having secret meetings with other teams, like in like the advance of getting guy. It's crazy. He clearly is like, get me out of here, man. I am out.
Dude, I said this 4 podcasts ago or whatever. Like, this guy's dying to be a National. Like a guy that just plays every single day or whatever on a horrible team. We can put up meaningless stats and try to fool another team into signing
him
to a contract.
10 million. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
right. He's brutal. But like, we used to do the old bit of can anyone find anyone throws 95 plus, just one guy that throws 95 plus.
Of course, that was an all time bit. Yeah, that really went the other way.
Find someone that can hit home runs. I mean, oh my goodness, like a right-handed bat that can hit a home run. I don't even know, James. I can't even process it. I can't process what, like, and I'm not even the biggest Eugenio Suarez fan. I would die.
34 homers. 34 homers. He's got more than like cat. I don't know the exact numbers, guys, right? But I'm sure Castellanos, Kepler, and pick the other non-Harper, non. I mean, maybe Harper combined. You know, like, I don't know, someone in that range. You know, it's like, what? Like, are you kidding me?
I know. A right-handed. I haven't seen a right-handed power bat here. I mean, obviously since Reese, but between they can't find an outfielder who can catch and hit. Although Marsh started to whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, but they come on.
They can't find that. And they can't find like all they put out. I'm getting ahead of this. I'm getting ahead of the trade deadline. I'm already annoyed at how much they're going to trade for a closer. Like I just have this overwhelming dread of they're going to trade like Aiden, and they're going to trade the God package for a closer.
It's going to be devastating. I don't care which one it is. If I had, like, of the ones you've been talking about, which, you know, it does seem like a pretty closer-rich market in terms of, you know, a lot of the teams that are out of it and willing to trade have decent closers that are, you know, at least a lot of them. But, you know, like Duran, the Minnesota, Duran, however you say it.
Duran,
it's just Duran. I wasn't sure. It's spelled D-H-O. So, you know, him and probably Bautista would probably be my top two, but I think Duran would be my top guy if I could just choose any of them regardless of price. But man, like, even for him, like, I wouldn't want to give up Aiden Miller. Like, I could get there. Like, you could convince me for him for 2.5 years of control with him and how great he is and what he could do for you. Like, I get it. And I get that that's the price. But, like, I don't think that there's any way, if they trade for one of these top guys, I'm going to feel great about what they have to give up. Like, I just don't think there's any way. It might work out. They might win a World Series because of it. And it's like, great, we did it. Like, who cares? The prospects might not pan out. We know all this stuff. But in the moment, like, unless it's, you know, a two for, you know, other stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's like if it's like just pick one of those guys we just mentioned, or even a worse one for Miller Plus or something, like, I'm going to be super bummed with that in the moment. Like, I just am.
The
right?
All,
like, you will too, right? I mean,
the all in Dave trade we've been praying for is for a freaking closer.
Like, now it's like, it would be terrifying if it's for a closer. Like, that don't, like, oh God. Like, and again, like, I desperately want a closer on this team, but like, not like that.
If you're going to put together the Godfather package and you're going to put it on the table, like, do it for Kwan and Klase. Do it for, and Byron Buxton needs to grow up.
Yeah,
like,
what a loser. Oh my God.
Come on. Don't be Mike Trout. Don't be Mike Trout.
Especially because, at least with Mike Trout, and again, don't be Mike Trout, period. That statement lives on its own, no qualifications. But on top of that, like, at least Mike Trout is like the greatest player in Angels history, or one of the greatest players in history. Like, he's a legend there. Like, he's a all-time great. Stuff like, you never made it through a season healthy. You're not some all-time twin. You've never, like, done anything. Like, what are you doing? It's crazy to me. It's so weird.
You get to be a twin for life? Sounds miserable.
I mean, no one cares.
Come on.
Until this year, they would have traded you for anything. Like, what are we talking about?
Come on, Byron. So, like, if you want to trade...
I'm going to start calling you Brian. I'll do it, dude. I'll freaking do it. Brian Buxton, I'll do it.
Is that what they called him in the home run derby? Is that they messed up his name?
I don't know. Did they? But
I was in the woods checking in, and I didn't. So I was so confused.
Yeah,
I was so confused as to what happened with Schwarber. Like, I woke up the next day and Ike texted
me. I didn't see it live either. I was at a Fish concert. Yeah, same.
Yeah, Ike texted me his bet slip of him winning MVP the All Star game. And I was like, hold on, Schwarber's dead? Like, what? Yeah. He went nuts in the game? Nope.
Over two or whatever. Yeah.
I was doing my best. I didn't want to be on my phone. I was trying to disconnect, but I was trying to piece together, like, how did he win All-Star Game MVP? Totally. Very confusing. It was great, but I saw the video. And
I didn't know that was the new process for a time. Because we all remember, you know, the this time it counts result of the last tie. But look good for getting the Schwarber part, but like I think that's perfect for the All-Star game, by the way. Like, yes, sure. If it's tied after nine, like home run off. That is so, yes, do that. Not in a real game. Now let's not translate that to real baseball. But for that, perfect.
Well, you know, Elliot is just so happy.
Like, why do we have the Ghost Runner? That's so much better. We should do that.
Yeah. Just do a swing off. It's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. Baseball, baseball, baseball. He has been, I know.
Nonstop with the, he's got all kinds of takes. So many.
There's
takes out his ass. It is like he has a baseball take for every situation the last like weekend. It's unbelievable. You're right. It's really a lot of them.
There are thousands of people listening. There are three people in this group chat, and we're bringing it on the air because you need to understand all he does is send awful baseball takes over and over. Today he said that teams should be able to give up if they're down by like if one of the safe pitchers just give up when they're down, whatever. And it's just, I'm not, leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
I do think part of it is he knows that he's needling you a little bit because he knows that you'll read them and you'll just be like, I want to strangle you right now.
I don't need to be needled.
I know.
I don't need to be. When the Phillies are losing.
Fair, you needle. You're a needler. You have a tendency to needle here and there.
Only with one guy. With one guy.
That's true.
But no. So, like, I just, coming out of the All-Star break, you get the Angels at home. I know they rake, but it was jarring from the standpoint of watching an offense that could really, you know, launch baseballs at CBP and how like jealous I was of that. But also it was jarring from the standpoint of if these starting pitchers are not great,
that was
and
my
like
thought.
great, this team is just so mostly inadequate.
It's pedestrian. Like again, like and we're not even talking about the worst part of the team, which flashed again. I mean, the bullpen is horrible. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, we're talking about when you see these guys warming up and coming in, whether it's Romano or Ross or any of these guys, and it's like, how could you not think about one of these guys having to come into a playoff game? I mean, and none of them, I can't have any of them. Like, I feel like Kirkering and, you know, maybe Strom and, you know, maybe our guy Tanner Banks. I know Daniel Roberts been
hold big, on,
but like, hold what, on. But like, come on,
just break
like,
it down. Dana
we're
Robert.
Talking, we're talking, and he's been good, like credit, like, you know, but I mean, you watch him and it's, you know, it's just, it, I like the bullpen is really real. Like and we talked about, don't trade everything for the closer. Like the bullpen is so far from good enough, but to your point, like the starting pitching, like we've said, it has to be special. It's the only thing that makes them special, but like the lineup has to be good. If nothing else, it has to be good for them to have a chance and potentially great because the talent is there for it. But, like, you know, it's just...
Well, but it's really just
not
three.
Close to good enough. I know, but I'm saying the theoretical talent. You're right. Yeah. I think we all know that it's not going to get there at this point. Yes.
It's just, after Harper, it is a hope and a prayer.
Those guys. You got three guys, and that's it. And like maybe will you flip one? Kemp. Otto's a nice little player.
Like, turning into a Kemp.
He's a winner, man. We're an Otto Kemp pod. Like we always have been. Why since before anyone else. That I'm pretty sure about that.
Now, real quick, official statement on Otto Kemp.
Yeah.
Not a third baseman.
No.
Two errors.
No,
he's
not. Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, stick him at second.
He's just not a particularly he's not very fluid as a fielder anywhere. He actually has looked better in left field than I thought he would. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have range, but like he hasn't. It felt like I feel like he hasn't had too many like what the hell are you doing moments, which is for someone who never played is something.
Well, it's not what Sosa looked like out there for like
exactly. Sosa, that's a perfect comp. Sosa looked. Like he had no idea what he was like lost. Like, where's the ball? What's happening? You know,
besides the one catch in Atlanta,
he made the first inning. He's an unbelievable catch. And then he has that horrible, weird throw missing the cutoff meme. He had the one where he lost the ball, like no communication between him and Rojas. It was a disaster.
You know who Otto Kemp is? He's Jed Jerko. Remember Jed Jerko? That's who he reminds
me of. How many times did I own Jed Jerko in fantasy over the years? His Brewers days, his Cardinals days, his, you know, sure.
Padres days.
Padres days, of course. Yep.
Good player. Good.
Really good player. Like, and could play multiple positions. Was like a winning type guy. Totally.
Oh, wasn't
had
great.
Had some pop, too. Had some pop, too. Like, talk about a right-handed bat. You could come up and hit a home run for you in a spot, you know?
Everyone's talking about Prime Jed Jerko was a problem, man. He was talking
about tough last names again, like Jerko, first of all, spelled like G-Y-O-R-K-O or something like that.
G-Y-R-K-O, if I remember. But yeah,
something so he's like that. Tough name.
Yeah, it reminds me of Jed. So, yeah. But yeah, Kemp might be a winner, but everyone else, even Bohm. I mean, Bohm with the 10 that cares.
Think about the fact that we're 20 minutes into this podcast, and we just thought to mention the Bohm injury. It's so like, and it should be like huge news. Like, well, you know,
for all the frustrations I have with them. And there's countless, you know, and you could almost just fire a dart and say, oh, okay, that's the one that irks me today. But or the one thing of the many things that drive me nuts about them, like the combination of Bohm Castellanos when they both are in first pitch swing mode and they just take you right out of it.
Oh my God. It's infuriating.
Just.
I'm pretty sure I haven't seen the data to back it up. I checked recently that since the thing in Miami where, you know, the Castellanos topper benching thing, Castellanos has swung at every first pitch in every single bat he's had, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Well, and also since then, he has played every single inning in right game. Field.
I'd be insane to do the data, but I'll bet you it's like he's definitely above 80% since then in terms of swinging at first pitches. Like, yeah,
he was like 73% like 2 weeks after. So,
okay, yeah. So maybe like set whatever it's an insane number. The point is, 3 out of 4 times when he bats in a game, almost he is swinging at the first pitch. Like, really, man.
And I know this has been just a total rambling type of a podcast, but it is what it is.
I like that line. It's where we're at. Exactly.
That's where we're at. And when they lose 2 or 3 for the Angels and they're 20.
The trade deadline's 11 days away. It's like, honestly, it's the kind of thing like if we could say things and they make a trade and what we say looks ridiculous. Like, it's just, you know,
but
we're just, it's like Jed is like free jazz here. We're just, you know, we're freaking riffing, man. You know? Yeah.
So let me get my guitar solo out of the way. And then I hand it back to you. So like, I keep watching them. I keep getting annoyed because, you know, you have all the big baseball writers, which I appreciate that it seems like this year heading into the trade deadline, it's a lot more like Dave's going to do it.
Well, especially local too. I mean, the Gail Bezos, like you're hearing a chorus of it more than years recently.
Because what usually happens now, you'll have the morons, like the big guys.
Like Rosenthal last time came out and was like, oh, Dave will do whatever it takes. And I think Buster did it. Like, and I don't think Buster's a moron.
I don't think either one. I'm talking about Bowden. It's always Jim Bowden. But like you have the big guys or whatever that just do the chalk answer. They'll say, Dave's going to do something.
He always does, right? Yeah. You know, like, oh, Dave always does what needs to be done. It's like, have you been paying attention in recent years?
But the fact that, like, Gelb and Stark and those guys are signaling, because the last couple of years, they've signaled the opposite, saying, don't expect a big move. Like, they're just going to do around the fringe, around the whatever. I just cannot believe that they watch this team and say, all we need is a lockdown closer. Like, a closer affects 3 games a week, maybe. And I just cannot stand, because it feels like it's been this way at the trade deadline in, 23, trade deadline, offseason at 23, trade deadline 24, offseason 24, and how it's been talked about now. But I cannot stand how it feels like it's always just throw your hands up and say, we don't know where to find a bat. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you can find, like, it just feels like they're so reserved to the idea of, these are our guys. Our stars got to be stars. If we hit, we hit. If we don't, we don't. We'll be. Why? Like, you can find a bat like Ramon Laureano or whatever is right there. If you want to go get him. I mean, Harrison Bader's had a good year for the Twins. I don't need to bring up Harrison Bader again, but like this whole just, well, what do you want us to do? I mean, you want to go find a bat? let us know. Like, it seems impossible to find. They act like just because this free agent class was horrible in the outfield and Kepler hits 10 home runs, that, like, well, see, actually it wasn't that bad. Like, they're I just feel like they're so kick your feet up and we'll see what happens, I guess, with the lineup. And it drives me nuts. Like, that lineup is so insufficient. And, like, you add a Taylor Ward to it. You add a Joe Adell. You add a Jorge Soler. That's three players on an awful team. Whatever. Add one of them. Don't care. Like, it's just like, if they trade the Godfather package, which I think is putting Aiden in it, which is putting
Painter in it or whatever, yeah.
And it's for a closer. And even if you get, like, even if you go to the Orioles, right, and you get Bautista and you get Sir Anthony on top of it, would love a Sir Anthony reunion. But, like, that's the big move, is a closer. Like, if you're gonna do it, go get a bat. I know you've sunk a lot of money in this lineup. You're gonna sink more, hopefully, into it when Schwarber resigns. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've sunk into it, because they're not good enough. They're just not good enough. And I don't care. I don't care if it says quote unquote sunk cost. Just do it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we keep, and it's the way, like, polls work and all that, where it's the whole, like, Twitter poll thing of, like, you know, what do they need more, a bat or a bullpen arm, you know? And it's like, oh, let's talk about it. What do you think they need more, this and that? And it's like, well, both, but I'll say it's like, this is a situation where it's like almost to the point where you may as well not make a real trade for one if you're not going to make a real trade for the other. Like, they actually have to have both. Like, to your point, they're not winning with this lineup the way it is. And that's the thing that sunk them the last 2 years. We've seen this play out. And on the flip side, they're not winning with this bullpen the way it is. Even with we could put a starter in there, you know, or maybe the, you know, 21-year-old kid or 22-year-old kid we just drafted can just hop right in the majors, and which maybe he can, like, but, like, they, even with that, they don't have enough. Like, they have to add both spots, or just don't do it. Like, don't give a Godfather offer, to your point, for Bautista and another arm or something, and then, you know, get a bench bat or not a utility guy or whatever. Like, don't do it then. Just don't make the Bautista trade. Then I don't even want it. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it is an imperative. This team has such clear needs if they really want to try and win the World Series, and both are necessary. Like,
Class A and Kwan. Class sure. A and
exactly.
Kwan.
Like, exactly.
I'm fine giving up prospects. I'm fine. Like, I love Aiden Miller. We are an Aiden Miller podcast. You love Aiden Miller. I think he's going to be great. But, like, if the possibility of adding Kwan and Class A, okay. I totally get it. I totally get it. You have 2.5 years of Class A and 2 years of Kwan. Like,
yep.
Okay. That's, but if it's just the closer, I don't get it. I really don't get it. Like, it's just, they don't impact the game in the way that people think they impact the game. And also, counterpoint, to just trade for a huge closer.
Fritz, shout out to Counterpoint.
Always, who could forget? If you, why would you trade for a huge closer without even just seeing if Kirkering can do it? Like, you would think that you could just trade a little bit less. You know what? You want to make a minor trade that would probably help, that would cost you prospects 100%, but would not cost you Aiden. Like, just go get Sir Anthony and Kittredge from the Orioles if you want. Now, we're not trading back for Soto. We're not trading back for Gregory Soto. Cannot go through that again. No interest. Nope. But, like, Kittredge and Sir Anthony? I mean, okay. That's not costing you Aiden Miller. Might cost you Abel. Might cost you some of these other arms. But that's not going to – it gets you two quality major league arms, and then maybe saves you for another move. I don't know. I'm definitely – I'm glad that they seem like that they want to push the chips in and they want to make a big move, and Dave's sitting on it and he's ready to go in. But I will just be disheartened if it's just for a closer.
Yep. Like, we are fully on the same page. All right. I want to get to the take bag. I have one more question for you leading into it. Maybe you would have gotten it there, but quickly, shout out to the Miller Lite Bar of the Week. Today's Bar of the Week is Barnaby's in Havertown, where you shout out to Barnaby's.
Oh, I love Barnaby's.
We've been to Barnaby's before. It's a great spot. Where you can watch all Phillies games, $3 Miller Lite drafts and bottle special. Go to Barnaby's restaurant and pub.com. All right, Fritzy, take bag, but lead the take bag off with Ranger, because, you know, look, the Lizardo stuff, we've seen him go back and forth this first start out of the break. We'll see what the next one looks like. But the Ranger thing, you know, we've kind of had, it's been a little bit of a string of you know, and obviously with last year in the back of our mind, I know he had the IL stretch with the back last year, but, you know, we remember him being one of the best pitchers in baseball and then falling off and being far from it. And, you know, obviously was one of the best pitchers in baseball after his first start until about like three starts ago. And then, you know, it's not just the results haven't looked good, but that we've talked about the velocity dip today just really struggled and didn't have it. You know, battled, gave him innings after the first couple struggles, but, you know, just kept getting it around, you know, kept giving up singles and, you know, hard singles and all that. Where you at with Ranger, and then take bag after.
So I would love to just say just a bad start, but I don't feel that way with Ranger because, again, of the history of him and his body not being able to hold up. And, you know, today he had, I mean, just brutal command. But he also, he looked tired. Like he looked worn down, which I don't love right out of the All-Star break. So, you know, velocity was definitely down. And I don't know. You try not to be, you know, too alarmist, but we've seen this movie before with Ranger, and Lizardo is so, man, hit or miss that it really makes you worried about the rest of the season, because obviously the fifth starter spot right now is occupied by Taiwan, it was about as vintage Taiwan as it could have been yesterday.
It was so classic. And somehow he was the best start of the weekend for them.
Yeah, he, in the middle of that game, every single ball that was hit felt like it was 110 miles an hour, totally, right at someone. So we
but
can't
then,
get...
Yeah, and Nola, we still have no idea. And then obviously, like, you know, sure, maybe it's in the big take bag or not, but I'm sure everyone knows, like, Andrew Painter ain't ready to come up right now. I think that's pretty clear. He just hasn't looked good yet. So
Nick Abel's, you know, shoving again, though. Nick Abel's shoving again.
No, Mick's been great since they sent him back down. I do think Mick's an option to help out and stuff like that. But to your point, the made at the very beginning where we talked about, you know, we spent 15 minutes, 20 minutes talking about the bat and the bullpen arm, and that's what they need. But like the only thing that gives them a chance in all of this is if that rotation is what we think it is. I mean, that's the thing that makes them special. And if Lizardo and Ranger aren't, and you just have Sanchez and Wheeler, like, that's great, but it's not what, you know, we thought it could be and could win the World Series if it's that great, you know?
Well, as inevitable as it is, Knowles will be back and he'll be starting a playoff game.
Oh, yeah, that's a lock. Bet anything you have on it.
Lock of century. Threw a bullpen over the weekend. It was 91 in that bullpen. So so you take that. But I'm worried about Ranger's workload again. Because, again, I thought he just looked tired out there. I thought his mechanics kind of fell apart. I thought that he wasn't finishing on any of his pitches. And it did not look great. So I will see how his next start goes, but he wasn't great in the Padres start either. So, you know, that's too straight.
Yep.
All right. So, you know, Stott Sosa certainly seems like it's back from a straight.
Which you called that a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, Stott in the nine hole, you know, it's, look, they were even before the game, Topper, he said they haven't thought about it, but I mean, the we've got to the point where reporters are asking questions about if they're thinking about setting Stott down, you know, like that's where we're at.
Worked in 22. Worked in 22. Yeah. So that's, I mean, and Stott, it's such a bummer too, because like he made that play. Now they changed it around and Trout ended up being safe, but he made that play today where
you see
the baseball instincts, and it's like, there's a good ball player there, man. He just can't hit. I mean, he just cannot hit. And then I don't know, but it seems like they're certainly going to go with the Stott-Sosa thing. Stott's all the way down to ninth in the lineup, and Sosa's playing more and more. Again, Bohm getting hurt changed everything, but I want to see what Otto Kemp would look like playing second base, because third base is actually not great at all. So Daniel Robert is interesting. I don't care.
The results have been, he's been there, you know, by the numbers, you know, other than Kirkery and their best reliever since he got here, you know, maybe
1.7 some ERA.
Yeah. I mean, he's been good, man.
And I'll continue to be intrigued by Seth Johnson. Today might have been like pitching on back-to-back days, and you know, a little he's got to get used to that kind of thing.
Got that dub yesterday, though. First dub. How about it?
Yeah. After Mankata hit a ball 700 feet, but
like
whatever.
8 billion was like, I was like, oh, yeah, Yon Mankata. I remember you.
Dave Dombrowski special. Traded him and
won him a World Series.
Yep.
Boston, obviously.
Yeah, not here. Not here.
And not Chicago either.
Like I mentioned earlier, I would love Joe Adell. Any one of those three, frankly, like even Soler, who is like he can't move in the outfield. Soler hits tanks and he's had huge
and also, moments. Yeah. He's a World Series MVP.
Yeah. Like I'll take a shot on Jorge Soler. I'll take a shot. Like Taylor Ward. On the Mount Rushmore, former future Phillies.
His name for, yeah. And like of non-Phillies whose name been, like he is so high on the non-Phillies whose names have been set on this pod list, you know?
It's not Larry Fitz to the Eagles, right? Whereas every offseason, Larry Fitzgerald's going to be an Eagle.
No.
But it's close. It's getting there. Taylor Ward. Bryce looked great. I mean, I'm just, of all Thank the. God.
And sounds great.
Yeah, so I was talking about that this weekend with people. It's I can't tell. I never heard him really talk like this as a Philly. Where
me either.
Like,
the whole like I'm the best. Like Bryce Harper, look at me.
So I'm curious.
I was more talking about like how good the wrist feels. Like him talking about how the wrist feels the best it has in a year, and he can't feel pain on it. But yeah, the first time he did it, like we talked about, I thought he needed to pump himself up, and that's where that came from. Like he was struggling so down. He's like, I'm Bryce Mother effing Harper, you know, and he needed to like say that out loud in a microphone to remind himself of it. It's still happening. So like I don't know why it's still you're hitting, buddy. We're good. So now I'm starting to get with like, all right, like I don't know if you need to say it after every good game you have, where you're like, yeah, I'm Bryce, I'm the freaking man, dude. Like, you know, like all right, yeah.
So I still mostly think it is hyping himself up and like reminding.
Which again, like if it works, if that like is at all working, like dude, I don't care. Say whatever the hell you want, like you know. But
yeah, great. I just there's also a part of me that's like and this could be a good thing. Again, this could be a good thing, but I think he also, I'm sure, wants to remind people like when everyone talks about Ohtani and Judge and dude. That Acuna throw the other night was one of the coolest.
Dude, I showed it to Emily. I said to Emily, I'm like, no hyperbole. I'm like, this might be the best throw I've ever seen. When you think about the fact that he catches it like and turns around flat footed and throws the ball 301 feet in the air on a dime to get a guy tagging from second. Like, it's like, it was one of those videos where I watched it and my first thought was, is this AI? Because it didn't look like, it's like, do you remember that video of Michael Vick, that commercial
where he
throws it? It felt like that. It felt like the ball like shouldn't keep going the way it went. And it just lands. It was almost like their baseman was like, got him. Like, I was like, what the hell was that? It was amazing. Unreal.
Yeah. It was like, Jose Guillen in Colorado. The Cespedes throw.
The Ichiro throw. The Cespedes one, definitely up there. That was an unreal one. But it's up there, man. It's legit one of the best
throws
I've ever seen.
It was awesome. It was ridiculous. And, you know, it's good. It's good to have, like, I feel like it's been a good season for defensive highlights. I miss Web Gems, man. You know, Web Gems were a great part of Sunday night.
The best.
Like, the Denzel Clark catch in Oakland was very reminiscent.
Really good ones, but the one was, like, yeah.
Not Oakland. It was in Anaheim. But it reminded me so much of the Gary Matthews Jr. catch. Where you know,
totally.
We've had some. I'm letting you know early. We've had some dynamite middle 2000s baseball talk on this podcast. I mean, just some great throwbacks.
Big time. Yeah.
But I'm glad we've had a couple good web gems that people are like, wow, it's like rather than just everything you see on Twitter being some home run and whatnot.
Or Pitching Ninja, which is great. Like, I love that stuff. I love what, but I'm so with you. It's like, I love seeing that. Like the, you know, the shortstop going up the middle, dives, twists, throws, like those kind of like, give me that all day, man.
Yeah. But I think, so I wonder if Harper's also like, hey, remember me? And if it's still remember me, great. Cause I think that leads to a really motivated Bryce and that gets him going. The fact that he feels healthy is awesome. You know, he's the best he's felt in a year and a half. Obviously, you take that. I've just been really interested in the I'm one of the best players in the game. And what the...
So unique.
The idea behind it is.
I'm so intrigued. I wonder if it's just the personal motivation. I wonder if it's to remind people. I wonder if there's... Like, I think what we can say now is it's to the point where it's definitely... There is something. Like, it is calculated for one reason or another. Yes. I don't think he just suddenly decided thinking that way and saying it out loud, you know? So I'm fascinated by it. I'm surprised, honestly, like, It's a weird question to ask, but I would be intrigued if a reporter asked him that question. Like, hey, Bryce, you've never really talked this way before. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know how I'd answer it, but it is interesting.
We'll get DK on it. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Come on, Scoops. Mm-hmm. Get down there.
Tough questions.
Yeah, be a bulldog. Be a bulldog. Trey is certainly cool. So Trey's cooled off. But the interesting part about Trey cooling off is it doesn't feel as dreadful. Like, we know that slumps are going to happen in the season. The thing that you don't want to see with Trey is the bad chasing, swinging at a 59-footer. I haven't seen that from him. He's not getting as many base hits. He's not like he's going through he's 100% going through a slump. But I guess my throwing caution thing out there is at least it's not bad chase. It's not looking.
He doesn't look bad in the same way. I totally agree with you. He doesn't look lost up there. It's like when, you know, like, and look, he's still the plate discipline, like you said, and like he's fouling balls off. It's not like, and look, the speed's still playing, you know, when he does get on base, he's still running some, he's still like causing havoc with the speed. And, you know, I'm with you. I was going to bring up that he has been struggling a bit, but I'm with you. I have not, it has not been as concerning. It's really the point we keep coming back to that. You know, this lineup is so, you know, mediocre that there is really a lot of pressure right now on those top three guys to be great or else the lineup doesn't have a chance, you know?
Yep. Speaking of greatness, Kyle Schwarber. And I mean, the Grand Slam yesterday was phenomenal. But I love how now has gotten so big with them that like Middleton's talking about it. I appreciated the Middleton comments. Now we need to follow through on that. But I appreciate the comments yesterday saying we know how important he is.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's becoming a chorus now. It's like when the sign JT thing got really like for that when Bryce was doing the like check thing and like everyone was like the hashtag on Twitter. It's starting to feel like that where it's like, anytime Schwarber does something good, it's like sign Schwarber, sign's got to sign. Like it's like it feels like there's a swelling of it, you know?
Well, and it's the most that I've ever felt like we've turned into Yankees fans in a way, because I feel like Yankees fans bully ownership to spend money. Like they bully Hal Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner doesn't want to spend any money.
God, he's totally.
I know that.
Nothing to do with spending money.
And then eventually becomes all offseason, and it's like the Yankees, World Series. It's like, all right, fine, we'll trade for Gerrit Cole, we'll trade for Juan Soto. Like I feel like that's what we've started to do with the Phillies, where it's like you gotta extend him. And I didn't love Schwarber talking about how much he'd love to play for his hometown Reds, but besides that, Harper being on the case, the fans being on the case, Middleton being on the case, I feel pretty solid about where Rose Schwarber and you know Stark was on. They're good about Kratzy on foul territory, and he was talking about how like you know the guys in the locker room for the NL All Star team were just saying how like Schwarber's the man. I just please, he's like just please resign him. I cannot. I don't want to live in a world where Kyle Schwarber is not a Philly next year and for the next 4 years. Like, he is, he's just imperative. He's absolutely imperative. And I just, we don't need to live in that world. We don't want to live in that world.
Look, I'm with Middleton, you. Don't let it happen. Now, the Phillies, it could not have played out worse for the Phillies.
Not even close.
But
he's on pace for 53 home runs or something.
Couldn't have played out worse. It just couldn't have been worse. But
price is going up. Should have just paid him the offseason. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So last thing here before
the other eight things.
At least 10 minutes on the draft.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You don't even have to be here. You can just
Good. That'd be amazing. I can say help out with Zoe. I'm getting texts about it. It's great. Go ahead. I'm listening.
I'm not going to take Luis Robert. I'm just like,
oh yeah, I probably saw you tweet about it.
The White Sox are willing to pay down some of the salary, you know? So teams are essentially viewing him as a rental because he's a $20 million option after the year, which if he's given that feels ridiculous, but who knows? And Andrew Vaughn has more RBIs in like six games as a Brewer than he did in like 30 some as a White Sox this year. Guys leave there and they turn into good players again. And so again, I tweeted about Luis Robert last night. If you think, this is a PSA, if you think that him and Johan Rojas are in the same stratosphere of baseball players. Yeah. Like, just stop talking about baseball. Just stop talking about baseball. Like, there's one too many of, well, are we sure he's an upgrade over Johan Rojas? Yes, I am sure he's an upgrade over Johan Rojas.
Oh, my God.
Like, so, you know, Stark last
week. Let's not do that.
Yeah. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that at all. But, like, you know, like you mentioned, Jason Stark, like, 10 million times on this podcast, but he's had a great week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Stark, this whole thing about how, you know, anonymous quotes from executives, and they're like, Luis Robert's my LVP because all he had to do was play decently well, and he's going to get traded, and now he might not get traded. Maybe that fueled him. I don't know. He's been great. You know, the last, like, nine games, hitting over 300. I would still take a shot. Like, I don't think it's going to cost whatever it would cost.
Which is a big key, yeah.
It's not going to cost a ton, but, like, you've seen players from the White Sox leave and turn to good players again. There is still very good talent in there. He made a catch in Pittsburgh over the weekend. We talk about the Acuna play being something that I don't think he covered like 91 feet to catch a ball and dive. Like, it's, he can still at least at a minimum, he can steal a bag. He can play great defense and he can pop a home run. Has he been dreadful? Yes. I believe me. I know what the numbers are. I've been on the Luis Robert case for about a year and a half now, but when it could cost as little as it could, and you need some kind of right-handed pop, and you don't want to, like, if you want to go get Felix Bautista and trade the Godfather package and then trade a little bit less to go get Luis Robert, okay, I'll take a shot. Is he my number one priority? No. Like, I would still like Duran, Buxton, you know, there are other guys that I want, but I'm not taking Luis Robert. Like, I don't, my nightmare scenario is he's a Met. Or is it Dodger? Because one of those guys are going to take a chance on Luis Robert, and I would hate to be the team that misses out on him really fulfilling his destiny on, like, not one of the most dreadful organizations in the sport. And I refuse to believe if he gets in front of 45,000 people at CBP that he's not going to be energized and he's not going to be locked in and help this team win games. I just refuse to believe that.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I'm with you. Depends on what it costs, obviously, but I don't hate it.
Thank you. All right,
go ahead.
All right.
Draft it up.
So Cade Obermueller is Andrew Miller. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Buddy, you're speaking my language here.
So they drafted him as a starter, but it's a 3,100 RPM slider that he throws super, super hard. He lowered his walk rate by a ton last year, can still hit mid-90s. I think he's a reliever. I think he could be in the bullpen tomorrow, but they won't put him in the bullpen tomorrow. He's super, super fascinating. We've talked a lot about Gage Wood, obviously. I still think that if they wanted to put him in the bullpen, they could. He needs some kind of outpitch for lefties. You know, I think they slugged like 500 against him last year, but when he was coming back from injury, whatnot, still on Gage Wood. Gage Wood really is, it's the Strider profile. I mean, it's the Strider profile when you're talking about like short,
that'd be amazing,
big legs, power fastball, pretty good feel for a breaking ball. Still in on Gage. Cade's great. The overall draft, by the way, I know that. So they're going to trade some arms. Like Gene Cabrera is probably going to get traded. Alex McFarland is probably going to get traded. Abel's probably going to get traded. So I think they were trying to at least, you know,
restock bring some... or pretend. Yeah.
And to be fair, after Abel, you know, Moises Chassé got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've talked about this. Yeah. It's thinner than you would think.
So you don't love that. And I think the general message is, and hopefully we can get we'll get Barbs on the podcast, but I think the overall feeling down there is like, I don't feel like trading for relievers anymore. Like they cost a ton.
Real quick, we got a little breaking news.
Oh,
just for the real Bob Nightingale. Let me make sure. Oh yeah, Philly signed David Robertson. How about that?
Of course.
Says one day after the Philadelphia Phillies scouted veteran closer David Robertson in a workout, they are now signing him for the rest of the season. Ken Rosenthal on it. No numbers, it looks like, out yet. But
I think $5 million probably.
Sure. Like we've talked about this. Like, why not? Like, I have no problem. It's just money, right? I have no problem taking a shot at Robertson. Like, we'll see. Like, I'm not like I'm not gonna leap and hurt my ankle like he did in 2022. But sure, you know, fine. Like to the point you made before, I would much rather sign David Robertson for $5 million than give up the farm for somebody, which they might still do. But
they're still gonna, yeah. They're still
gonna. Why not? I'm fine with that. No problem with this. Who cares? As long as it doesn't stop them from spending more money this season, like they're like won't add a player because they signed Robertson's money. But like I don't see that, you know.
No, I think he's a guy on top of a guy. Like I think that he's. Yeah. He's
we've said, you know, they need more than one arm. We need more than one arm in the bullpen. So,
and guess what? Like if it was David Robertson or trading another prospect for a bullpen arm, like I would rather just sign David Robertson. He was great last year.
That's my point. Me too. Exactly.
I mean, we were asking for David Robertson in April, you know, I mean, this is,
yeah, we were. Yeah.
I can't believe we're about to do the David Robertson thing.
Third time's a charm, buddy.
Like he's about to be a three-time Philly. And what is the David Robertson moment? I mean, closing out game
getting
one of
hurt,
the World Series?
Getting hurt in the and not being on the NLCS roster because he got hurt during the Bryce Harper home run is my number one Phillies David Robertson memory. But yes, he did close out. That's probably game one. But for me personally, when I think of David Robertson as a Philly, I think of him getting hurt and not being on the NLCS roster because he was celebrating home. That's what I think of.
I can't believe we're about to do the Dave Robertson thing for the third time. He was such a high wire act in 22. I mean, he really was.
Oh my God.
I never felt confident in him coming in one time.
Maybe he's gotten better with age.
So I wonder if this means a Romano DFA. I think that they would at this point. Now, obviously, they could just send down Seth Johnson or send down one of the.
Yeah.
Lazar's been great, dude. I'm so pro Lazar.
Oh, it's my guy. Love Lazar. And on Lazar. Lazar and Robert. They're all right.
Daniel Robert, you cannot send down. He's become too valuable. Mm-hmm. All right. So David Robertson. All right. David Robertson. At least they did something, right? I mean, at least they're just kind of not sitting on their
hands. Yeah. Hey, I'm fine with it. It's just money. I'm in.
All right, back to the draft. Back to the draft.
Please.
So I do think they're sick and tired of trading for relievers, you know, like giving up George Klaassen, who I believe in July, I think in July, his batting average against is 0.86 or 0.086. Great. So, I think that and the guys they signed are very like Dodgers kind of guys. Like Cody Bauker looks like a Dodger. Like Cody Bauker has a fastball that rises, like he has a super ridiculous horizontal rise to it. Like that's a special pitch. Sean Youngerman, I think. So when they were drafting, I was driving. So obviously I was not, you know, watching highlights while on the highway with the whole family and the pickup.
I would have
so when I eventually looked at it, it was like maybe a quick glimpse. I was like, oh, kind of looks like a fourth, fifth starter type that, and he might end up being that. But you look at more and more of the highlights, and I just think that he is a legit four pitch mix that could be really, you know, worked on. Gabe Craig is Kirkering. It's Kirkering all over again. He's 24, so he's like a senior sign. 70 grade slider. Like, I think honestly, just put him in Reading tomorrow and see how it goes, because I think he's not someone who should be in the minor leagues for long. James Talon is this kid from Duke, pretty sick little lefty. I think Cade's better, but like James Talon is someone who I think is sick. All right, so Matthew Fisher, I think is the second best right-handed prep arm in the class. Like, wow. I was in on Matthew Fisher at 26 if they wanted to take him there. So they're gonna sign him. I'm pretty confident that they're gonna sign him.
Yeah, because that was sign or go to college guy. Yep.
And I just think that from the standpoint of he's super athletic, he's a high school quarterback. He like a high level high school quarterback. He like you look at the mechanics, very repeatable, not perfect, but super athletic. And I think that's all you can kind of ask for. So I think he's going to have a good feel for four pitches eventually. I think that once he puts down the football and grows up from being a quarterback and really focuses on being a baseball player,
yes.
And being a pitcher. I just think that I couldn't believe he's still there. And I know that the MLB draft is different than any other draft. And I know it's
so weird.
Because the truth is, he could have gone 25th, or he could have not been drafted. It's like that's how ridiculous the MLB draft is. But he is, like, for my money, like, I think Seth Hernandez was the best right-handed prep arm in the class. I think Matthew Fisher was number two. Now, it wasn't a great arm, or it wasn't a great
class
for right-handed prep arms. But I think that they got a first-round talent in the seventh round. And
wow! All right.
They should never sign a free agent again, so that we can have fun drafts like the ones that they had. Brian Walters, who they took out of Miami, had some injury concerns. He's the brother of Andrew Walters, who I wanted them to draft like 2 years ago. He was already in the Guardians bullpen.
Mm-hmm, cool.
Guardians know what they're doing. But Brian Walters could be a fast riser. Fastball's stupid. Matthew Ferrara is a South Jersey shortstop. Tom's River shortstop.
Shout out.
I think he put on a lot of weight this year. He's a bit twitchy, but they're going to sign him and we'll kind of see how it goes. But certainly they went a lot of college arms, the prep guys, Matthew Ferrara, Matthew Fisher. It took, this Dawson kid, who's a local kid, huge Phillies fan. I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving my thoughts on him. It's fine. And then the last one,
because you said twitchy and it made me think of how twitchy Emily is right now waiting for me to finish this podcast.
Well, she needs to understand that we need to talk about Landon Schaefer, the 20th round pick, for one second.
I'll tell her that. She'll totally get that. Yep.
So good. Hold on. Yeah. I know, Emily, I'll Venmo you $5. I promise.
Like, that's what she wants. Yeah.
That'll help everyone out.
Nailed it. Oh, we're good now.
Landon Schaefer, there's a thought. He's probably going to go to Arkansas. He's the number one high school prospect in Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
He's committed to Arkansas, and he withdrew his name from the draft, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to be drafted. Phillies took a shot, and there's a sentiment that he's not going to sign, and he's probably not going to sign. But I don't think it's I don't think it's 100% locked that he won't sign. That is he is a top 3 to 5 round talent. He's a top 3 to 5 round talent.
So it'd be a home run if they can find a way to convince him to sign.
It would be if they could find the money, he would be.
And convince him. And convince him, it seems, is probably the comma. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that's all I got. David Robertson's a Philly. Everything's fine. We are 100% back. And the undrafted kid is the next Otto Kemp. And
Keith of course, yes,
Humphreys. He's
because that's what happens. A lot of undrafted kids become those guys
from Dallas Baptist. Yep,
love it. All right, Sox coming to town. 2 or 3. We got 2 or 3 in us.
So I'm excited for a couple of reasons. I want to see what Duran looks like when I watch him every single night. I want to see what Chapman
looks
like.
I was just expecting it at 2 or 3. But go ahead. Yeah.
There's a lot of, well, they should light up Walker Buehler tomorrow. Walker Buehler has been horrible. Gonna see Roman Anthony, which is super great.
That's fun. Yep.
Bregman's back right on time, so awesome. Looking forward to that. Yeah, Red Sox playing good baseball, so Phillies once again have their work cut out for them.
Love it. All right, we'll be back later in the week. I'm not gonna give you any more chance to add anything else in. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. You're the best. We'll talk to you guys later. He's Fritz Seltzer.